Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Monday, June 26, 2017. I'm Benjamin Abaya, and joining me today is my infamous twin brother, John Abaya.
Hello. I feel like infamous means it's bad, like I'm a bad person that did
something. It's like you're famous, but you're famously known for something
doing
wicked.
Bad. So what am I doing bad?
I don't know. Oh. Just tell me. I don't know.
He's Spider-Man, they always say he's infamous, but he's good.
So it's not necessarily pertaining like evil or bad. It just means that you did something like well known that's like a little bit
bad.
Yeah. A little bit bad.
Yeah. Like despicable me.
Yeah, I think. Anyway, just want to say thank you for taking helm of the podcast last week, I believe.
Oh yeah, don't mention it. It was hard at the time because I didn't know what to do at moments, and Seer helped me navigate through the waters of podcasting.
And you guys were talking about E3, which means electric
yes.
Gaming conversation. Yeah,
convention. It was all about electric stuff, electric televisions, yeah. Games, stuff like that. Anything that's made of electricity, no board games and stuff. That's like, I think it's called the board.
Like B-O-R-E-D.
Games. Yeah, just board. Like, you know, you get bored because you play the game.
Yeah.
Conference. BC.
Kaya mentioned that one game you hadn't mentioned and I was looking forward to was XCOM Mario.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so that one looks cool.
XCOM Mario.
XCOM
Mario.
Mario.
No, XCOM Mario.
Yeah, you're connecting XCOM Mario. Okay,
yeah,
I got it.
XCOM Mario.
But yeah, thank you for you here. It's always cool to have our other brother hosting with you.
Yes.
So, shout out to Sierra Seichow Abaya. Mm-hmm. There's a hyphen in between Sierra and Seichow and Abaya.
So you mentioned that one game. Give me other two games. Because we did us best three. Just mention two more that you thought that was interesting.
The other Mario game.
Oh, which, the Odyssey?
Mario Odyssey.
Oh, that's what we call it now? The other Mario game. These everyone's hyped on the...
Oh, I would like Mario. To say, oh, brother, wear out Mario.
Oh, that's... Wait, oh, because it's Odyssey? Is that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
One more.
Anyway, and then the next one might be... I don't know. I didn't really... Oh, there's this one game. I forgot the name again, but it's like sort of like 2D, like 8-bit, but it also has like these 3D rendering scenes. It looks like a Blade Runner.
Oh. Game. I think it's called The Last Knight.
Yes, The Last Knight.
It was for the PlayStation, right? Or
yes, yeah.
I believe the PlayStation.
One of those,
Yeah, that looked cool too, because of the whole aesthetic of Cyberpunk Blade Runner.
Yeah, but whenever those games come out, we might talk about them on this podcast. But until then, if you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impressions of what we watched, listened, played, or read throughout the week. And we conclude the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is the new original Netflix television show, Glow. But before that, John, we actually have another, not original, but a Netflix film, which is part of the teaser trailer talk. This week's teaser trailer talk is The Incredible Jessica James.
I'm smart. I am a cocoa queen.
Are those for the guests?
Yes.
All right, so we're done here?
So that is a small clip from even a smaller trailer talk from the incredible Jessica James. From IMDb, once again, here is the plot synopsis. An aspiring playwright in New York strikes up a friendship with a guy while on the rebound from a breakup. This is directed and written by Jason Strauss, who also directed and written a film that I really liked called People, Places, Things, which also is available on Netflix right now. It stars Jermaine Clementine. I forgot his last name now, but he's from The Flight of the Conchords. He is the crab that likes shiny things in Moana. Have you ever watched that film?
Moana, yeah, I like the movie a lot.
No, oh, People, Places, Things.
Oh, no. I think I see it in Netflix. Is it the guy, he's holding his son or something on the cover?
The daughter. His
daughter, yeah. He's holding a child, and that's all I know about that film.
Yeah, it's really delightful. It's a very it's an indie film, so it has its little quirks and whatnot. But I highly recommend anyone actually, you know, watching that film. And it's similar, like when I watched this trailer, it's similar to that film because it's about a man trying to rebound from a divorce, basically, and then trying to find the right woman in his life, which is kind of cool. Anyway, this film stars Jessica Williams, Chris O'Dowd, and Noelle Wells. It stars a tons of other people, but those are the ones I think are well known at the moment. Jessica Williams is famously known for her as a correspondent on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, which is, she's always wonderful in it. I think she's trying to, you know, get out of that business of being a correspondent like all the other famous people and try to hit her, you know, her films and her television shows and whatnot. So this is really great to see her as a lead in a television show. But what's your thoughts about this trailer talk, even though it's so short, John?
It is really short. One thing it's confusing for me is a title. I don't know why they have to name. I mean, I guess her name is really Jessica Williams, right? And then in this one, she plays Jessica James.
I think she's still Jessica. Yeah, she's Jessica James. It's just like the whole the Wayans brothers show, but called the Wayans. They were called Marlon Williams and what's his other brother in the show?
Yes. Yeah. It's just confusing because you know how Netflix has a Jessica Jones show. I felt like, I know they put the Incredible in front of there to, you know, if you call it Jessica James, it's just odd. I mean, they have no relations at all and stuff like that, but the brand of Netflix is just kind of confusing when you see that sometimes. Other than that, that's my only like small gripe from the thing. It looks like a New York-based comedy, seems like. It looks like all centric of how she lives in New York and not struggles, but the little like things she goes through in her daily life. That seems funny. I haven't really watched her or seen her in The Daily Show, so I don't know what's her type of comedy. But this looks interesting to me. I'll watch like a couple episodes. Oh, it's a movie, right?
Yeah, it's a movie.
I'm down to watch a movie. I like we said it here multiple times, like the format of Netflix where you can just, you know, go in there and, without, you know, you just pay your subscription fee and you can watch all hundreds of hours of their original content. It's pretty cool. I feel like this podcast probably should be brought to you by Netflix at this moment, because we basically watch anything on Netflix and then give our impressions on it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, one day they might be, but that would be kind of weird too.
Have you seen, does she do stand-up or anything? Is there something you could point me to that I was like,
She does do, I think if you just go on YouTube, she has stand-up bits and whatnot, sets and YouTube. I don't know if she had, I want to say she did on Netflix, but I'm on the blank, probably because I never watched it. Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. But yeah, I agree with like for its limited amount of time for the trailer, you didn't get as much, but you could see that she's not technically playing like a character that's not as distant as her persona or her who she is in real life. It looks like a degree of who she is in like just a little bit more, you know, probably up to volume 11 or whatever. But yeah, it looks cool. It looks whimsical. Like you said, it looks like a show that's set in New York. And it's like New York centric. You get all like little quirks, like how New York is. You're going to bring this up later in the podcast, but it's like, you know, Master of None in that sense, where you're just, instead of you're seeing Aziz Ansari, but you're seeing just Jessica Williams now, which is kind of cool. I mean, that formula has been taken since, you know, since forever. Woody Allen has done it. And with like all this, you know, most of his films are like that, a man in New York City.
You can name other, literally other stand-up comedians who had the exact same.
Yeah, Louis C.K. Like everyone who's a quote-unquote New York stand-up comic or lives in New York has always set like their films or television shows in New York. Because
and
I think
like vice versa to the L.A. comedians do the exact same thing. Like Marc Maron and stuff like that. It's like
I think it's just how rich the city is, how big it is, and how much, I guess you could say, like diversity there is, so that you can, you know, say that, oh, the city isn't just full of just white people, but like it's like well diverse and whatnot.
And they always say like New York every person has a story there, and that's why, you know, they... I don't know if that's an actual true. Saying. Maybe that's L.A. One coastal city has that saying, but it can be vice versa. It seems like both are so diverse that, yeah.
Oh, it looks like I typed it in Google. It's Seattle that has that.
Oh, okay. They should have a show in Seattle then. Yeah, well, they do have one, and it is scrambled eggs. No.
Okay, I don't know that reference.
They should have scrambled eggs. You don't know that TV show Scrambled Eggs?
No.
Frasier? The Brendan Fraser movie about him trying to cook eggs? You should watch it. It's on Netflix, I think.
I think. I'm not into...
mummies?
No. Yeah, mummies. but yeah, that's our impression of the incredible Jessica James, which is going to be premiered on Netflix in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So we might be talking about that, or one of us will be talking about that when it premieres on Netflix.
Is there another show with the incredible, is it Miss Kimmy Smith or whatever? I never watched that show too. So
I think that's like the Misadventures.
Oh, Misadventures. Okay.
Yeah. I haven't watched that too.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think it's incredible, but
yeah.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, me too. I just seen the blank person's name so many times.
Okay, so from one Netflix film to a Netflix television show, what have you been watching, John?
I've been watching season 2 of a show that you discussed before. I think you watch all of it. I'm just now like catching up on shows that I missed in the last couple of months, I guess you could say. I have some free time. And I'm talking about Aziz Ansari's Master of None. Sull'eco del concerto che insieme ci trovò, ripeterò ancor la strada che mi porta a te. So that was a clip of season 2. I think we played that same clip exactly, but probably.
No, I chose a different clip.
Oh, okay, you choose a different clip. Okay, I can't tell.
I chose like the last 5 seconds or the last 30 seconds of the television show.
Oh, of the series? Literally, yeah. So spoiler. But yeah, so I haven't watched all of it. I went up to episode 3. I think it was titled Religion. So if minor spoilers of season 1, it starts off of with Aziz's character Dev in Italy. I won't tell you why he goes to Italy, but it has like a black and white basically scenes with like really nice music and whatnot, and you find out what he's doing in Italy. If he actually in season 1 he wanted to do something, and then you find out if he's actually doing that job, and they go into it really quickly, and you meet like some characters that you never seen in previous season, and it's pretty nice. I really like the format of the show, just his comedy and everything that Aziz does, and just the way they film everything, so beautiful, and it is shot in Italy. The scenery is just so, like, you know, I seen so many like films and television shows that do shoot in Italy, but it's nice just to see like they're taken aback by everything. It just feels like you're on vacation with Aziz and looking at the whole everything, the food, especially the food. I can't believe how much right after this show ended, I wanted to make pasta, but I'm not like Aziz or Dev's character where I can, you know, make my own food and whatnot. So I just, you know, went to cover, find what do you call that, pasta spaghetti thing, and just put, you know, canned spaghetti sauce, and that was it. And I guess this would do and whatnot. Like I said, the food just is really appetizing to me. And then I like that his best friends on the show too, played by Eric Warheim.
you could deal with that one. I don't.
Yeah, Eric Warheim.
He's one half of Tim and Eric.
Yes, the one half of Tim and Eric. He plays Arnold. He's in last season too, and he's just a very funny, eccentric character. And he actually has a plot too of a reason why he's in Italy too. And I thought that was really cool. It was one of the like really
revealing
moments of his character, and very like anyone can relate to that thing. What he's going through and stuff like that. And then And the next episode, like I said, my own spoilers. It's about religion and how he, Dev, basically deals with being a Muslim in America and how religion affects him and his family and everything. And I thought that was really cool during, even especially the you know, what's happening in this world today. It's just a very cool look into his life. And the thing I like about Aziz, he actually has his like family members on the show and everything.
His parents.
Also in the religion episode, I don't know if you like listened to his stand-up, he always mentioned about his cousin, I forget his name, who's like obsessed with Kanye West.
I forgot his name. He's so much older now.
Yeah, he's so much older. He's in this episode as playing the cousin still. But you can tell he's not like an actor or anything. But he tries. But it was just so cool to just, you know, actually put a face to that person. And like, oh, this is this guy. And stuff like that. They don't really, you know, they don't like do a reference to that stand-up or anything. But it's just cool that he has another family member on the show, you know, just playing a family member. Yeah, those are the three episodes I watch. And really enjoying it. I feel like the only thing I've been watching is just Netflix shows after Netflix show, movie or whatever. And yeah, I'm just happy. Yeah, that Master of None is back on, and I'm especially happy it's only a 30-minute show. I love when comedies are just 30 minutes and you can just watch them back and back. And Netflix has this thing where after one episode, I don't know if it's on your app, but it just dives into the next episode. So you can like, you know, just...
That's most apps now are like that.
Is it? Oh, I don't know. I mostly watch all my TV stuff on Netflix. So yeah, I thought that was kind of cool.
They even, at least with Netflix original content, they ask you even if you want to fast forward the credits.
Yeah, yeah. Like, no, they know, actually like skip it and just blends in to the next thing. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I really like the show too. I think Aziz Ansari did a wonderful job in putting together this show, writing it with his brother and writing it with like just real personal experiences and just, you know, transferring it or conveying it in a short film format, I was going to say, because like, each episode feels like a short film. It doesn't, although it feels like it's, you know, a continuous story, it feels like you could watch one episode and letting it be just one, you know, one topic about like religion, about dating, about there's this wonderful episode about Thanksgiving. You'll probably come to it soon, but overall it's a great television show, and it's just really cool to see him doing his thing and being unique about it. And yeah, so I highly recommend it too. I think I've talked about it extensively. I think it's also in our 17 freaking awesome things in 2017 already, so can't wait for you to agree with it too. So that's Aziz Ansari's Master of None season 2, also on Netflix. So moving on, I didn't do anything this week. Just want to say that I didn't do anything this week. So moving on from that, from another Netflix television show, which is our main discussion. This week's main discussion is the Netflix television show Glow.
In this world, there are good guys and there are bad guys. And I will not be bullied into submission.
You are reading the man's part.
Oh, God.
Would you like to start over?
Yes, I would.
I will not be bullied into submission.
Sorry to interrupt. Your wife is online, too?
I'm interested in real parts.
Got $83 in my bank account, and I don't know if I can pay my gas bill.
Ruth, there's an audition. They're looking for unconventional women, whatever that means.
Hello, ladies. I'm Sam Sylvia, and this is Glow.
That is a clip from the trailer of the television show Glow, which stands for Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. This is a comedy drama created by Liz Flahive and Carly Mahish.
Manish.
Yeah, I apologize if I pronounce those wrong. They produce Orange is the New Black, Nurse Jackie, Weeds. They also wrote and I believe they directed some episodes. From IMDb, this is the plot synopsis for the television show Glow. A look at the personal and professional lives of a group of women who perform for a wrestling organization in Los Angeles. It stars Allison Brie, Betty Gillipin, Sinelle Noel, Brittany Young, and Mark Maron. Again, I apologize if I mispronounce her last name. So this is an interesting television show because it's about a, it originally is a actual thing in the 80s,
yes,
which was a syndicated women's professional wrestling circuit that was created by David McLean. None of the characters in this television show is, you know, actual people in real life. Yeah. It's just all fictionalized. They just took the concept of GLOW and made it their own. I think because they wanted to also written it because it's from a woman's perspective this time, instead of just a man's perspective. Mm-hmm. And it came out really well. But John, before I, you know, say my thoughts, what's your thoughts about the show GLOW, and how many episodes are you watching? Because minor spoiler, I mean, but we only watched like about 3 episodes each. Like at most, we watched 3 episodes. Mm-hmm. So what's your thoughts about GLOW?
So I actually finished the series because I thought it was great to watch everything. So this going into it, I had no idea what was GLOW. I heard of GLOW just from, like, you know, podcasts I listened to that talk about wrestling. And they mentioned GLOW, how it's all women, basically a, what do you call it? Not community, wrestling, I guess. Yeah, confederation. What is it? Federation or whatever. Whatever wrestling group you call it. Yeah.
Circuit.
Circuit, yes.
At the time, it's called Circuit.
Mm-hmm. I really dig the style of this show. The 80s, it takes place in the 80s, right before, I think, 1984. Four or 85, I think, in the mid 80s. Because there are still elements of the 70s in here they showcase, but it's, yeah, it's basically leaving.
I was going to say, I think it's kind of ambiguous, though, because they don't mention
a lot. There is one thing later on the show that they mention to put down what date is it. Exact date.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Because in the beginning, I was like confused, like, oh, this is a Back to the Future reference, but mm-hmm. why is everyone still dressing like in the early 80s, Back to the Future came out, like 1984.
Yeah, yes. You'll see why it's like that. But yeah, just the style I really like. It is very, yeah, you there's no pinpoint exactly. You won't see anyone like on a really big you know, cellular phone or anything like that. It's not, they're not poking fun at the 80s. They're just taking some elements to, you know, to put what decade it is and stuff like that. Especially the style of what the women attire they're wearing, especially when they're working out. You kind of forget what type of workout clothes are in the 80s, and they're very like scandalous, like type of outfits I think you cannot wear today, especially the, like, they're wearing like a thong basically just walking out. I was like, oh, this is what happened, I guess. Other than that, I really like every character on the show. Allison Brie is almost unrecognizable in this film or TV show. I didn't know it was her until later on. I thought it was a different actress. I don't know, she seemed like she lost a lot of weight. It's almost like Kristen Bell lost a lot of weight for The Mechanic. It almost has that same feeling. I don't know if she lost weight for this show, because her character is always portrayed as a, like, she doesn't really care about her look. She's more into her acting, like the way she acts and everything. And I thought that was kind of cool. Like, you don't see her as like a sex object or anything like that. Unlike, or sexy, not sex object, sorry. Sexy character. Like, most of the characters on here are trying to portray that type of person. Like, they're kind of sexy and they, you know, they wear leotards, yes, leotards and stuff like that. But her is like more like a down to earth, basically, and just, you know, trying to push herself. Betty Gilpin, she plays Debbie. She's like the best friend of Allison Brie's character, Ruth. She's interesting. She's like she plays a soap opera star, kind of successful, I guess you could say. And yeah, it's just the contrast of one struggling, that's Allison Brie's character, and one is very successful, is interesting.
Well, successful in the sense of what era that was.
Yes,
I guess,
yes.
Because she's married with a child, yeah. And she has like sort of like a career.
Mm-hmm.
On her own, yeah.
Yes.
While Allison Brie is still... Allison Brie is still trying to struggle to
Yeah, she's struggling. She there is literally like moments in this TV show where she's living only with $20 in her name, basically. And then she has like an apartment and she's just struggling to get a part in Hollywood. And you have to remember this is the 80s, basically, and women don't have like great parts in movies or television yet. And Alison Brie wants to break that, basically, that mold, basically. And I have to mention other characters too that are like I think every character shines in this show. A lot of them they seem like jerks at first, like you don't understand why this character is here and you don't what do you call that, like you don't want to sympathize or not sympathize what am I trying
sympathize?
To sympathize? Yeah, sympathize with them. I'm saying that word wrong, but you understand.
I think sympathize is an audio thing.
They're making their own beats. Every character grows and throughout the series. I love how each arc is just basically like spread out throughout the show. They're not paying attention to one character in every episode. It's more like they switch back and forth, and I love how they do that. There are literally moments here where I started crying because especially I think I tweeted this out, like during sports movies when a parental figure shows up, it just gets me every time, and this show does that kind of, and I was like, oh, this like hits my heart really. And there are really cool twists in the show that I did not see coming. There is a very I won't say, but they did a great job not explaining certain characters in the beginning, and then actually showing, oh, this is why they're here. Oh, wow. This is like very powerful stuff.
You know who, a great show that does that type of reveal?
Who?
Or is what? Orange is the New
Black. Oh, they actually do that? Okay, so. Yeah.
That's why I was like thinking this is like a version of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then, same producer, so.
Mm-hmm. So because it's a wrestling show that's in the 80s, there are a lot of like stereotypes for especially people of color on the show, and they're playing off of that 80s aesthetic when, you know, okay, I don't know wrestling that well, I just know of the characters. I think one of the characters back in the day in the WWF, now WWE, is the Iron Sheik, and he plays like this Middle Eastern terrorist person, and they have a character like that too, but played by Indian woman that has to do it because that's what sells, basically. That's the, you know,
in the 80s
basically, that you need a villain. You need, Russia was a villain, China is a villain, at the time Middle Eastern terrorists are villains and stuff like that. They just need it. And then their characters are developed too, that needs to be heroes. And when you later in the film you'll see what is it, and it's very cool the way
they're like creating the heel and face structure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and for those who forgot, because we haven't talked about wrestling in a while.
Oh, because we don't see her here.
Yeah. Or Greg Deeds too.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
But like a heel is like usually the underdog, and face usually the superstar.
Oh yes, underdog. I guess heel to me has always been the bad guy, not the underdog.
Not technically. Yeah. Yes. Because could be a favorite among heels.
Yes,
could be a face but is hated on too.
Yep.
Like someone like Kirk Angle, who's a face but he's hated upon.
I have to mention too, Mark Maron is on the show, and he does a great job. His character is
basically Mark Maron.
Huh? It's literally Mark Maron, but in the 80s.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of coke basically.
Yeah.
In it,
which he probably did in the 80s, I'm pretty sure.
And there are side characters, well, they're not technically side character, are in here that, like I said, they seem like you think the character will go this direction, but it just turns, and then they're actually likable characters, a lot of them, and then you kind of feel like, oh, of course, it's a show about being, you know, struggling in Hollywood, of course there would be jerks in the beginning, but a lot of them want to, a lot of the especially the female characters, they want to be famous, they want to be known for, you know, in Hollywood and stuff, and it's kind of cool just to see their arc in the show and everything. I Especially my favorite episode is probably the back half of this show. I think I was telling you it really grows really well. It feels very organic, and I was telling my wife this show reminds me of a movie. I think a lot of people should watch it because if you like this show, I think everyone should watch House Bunny with oh God, what's her name? Oh, she's married to Star-Lord. I listened to her podcast, but I forgot what is it. Her podcast is called Unofficial or something like Disqualified.
Who?
Her podcast is Disqualified. Oh, On Affairs. Sorry, that's her. I did not even search for her name. I had to like backtrack over. Yeah,
it starts. I was trying to remember who was the other actress in that movie who's now famous.
Yes, Emma Stone. Emma Stone. Yeah. But it's and Justin Long is in there too. So
yeah.
But yeah, if you, I recommend that movie. If you watch The House Bunny, I recommend this movie or TV show to watch. Yeah, it's really great. I don't know what else to say about it. It's so good. I going in, I thought, you know, I wasn't, because I didn't know anything about the content. So I was let's see how this is how well this is, and then yeah, the show's funny. It's funny in the sense like they go from drama to funny so well. Like you, one moment you're like kind of getting worried, you're almost like near tears, and then the next moment they do like a great, you know, one liner from a person, and I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, I totally agree. I only watched 4 episodes. That's the disclaimer I'm going to bring. But I really love what I've watched so far. A television show about like women in wrestling is in the 80s. It's pretty fantastic if you actually do it correctly. And then for them to bring in actual women creators who are writers, directors, producers, like that is wonderful. Like, majority of this project is probably 80% women, and then it's pretty telling because it's a story about women, so like you only could tell that story from women. And I like how they also deconstruct certain stereotypes, but they also reinforces them by like continuing to acknowledge them throughout the series about certain characters or like the characters they are playing as wrestlers. I think it gives a great opportunity. It feels like something that your conversation or dialogue or discourse that is happening now, like 2017, but they're inserting it in a 80s sort of, you know, in the 80s, basically.
Yes.
You know
there is a powerful scene, not powerful, but a memorable scene in here with the character played by Sunita Mani. I've seen her in Mr. Robot. She plays a hacker there. But there's a scene with her towards the back half of this thing that will really hit you. It does play like this dark humor in a little bit of how, yeah, like I said, they make the drama more comedic in a way. But yeah, there's a lot of heavy stuff in this. A lot of social stuff too that, yeah.
I was going to bring up like the social awareness of women. Basically feminism and how much feminism has changed in the past 30 years until now. Like, there's this now, we're on talks of like how white feminism has always been a role throughout the last, you know, ever since feminism has started. And that like we're just now like putting women who are women of color and who are in the LGBTQ community, who are marginalized, like women are now being more accepted in the feminism, you know, in the community. And now that it's very intersectionality, meaning like that you are encompassing everyone inside, it's inclusion in it, not just like white feminism. I could talk about that later, but like in another podcast or something. But like we're just now, you know, having that conversation, and I think this is a good representation of that. This television show where like there's this character played by Ellen Wong, who's from like Knives from Scott Pilgrim versus the World, where like there's this thing where the producer asked her to be like this Asian woman, a quote unquote Oriental, and then she felt offended. And I felt like, well, like that's kind of cool to see. And then she's like, I'm from Cambodia. And then I'm like, well, and then when you look research like her and her where she's from, she's really Cambodian. And I like how like they didn't take like a Chinese actress and say that she's Cambodian. Like they actually have that as a representation here. And then they have like someone like you just mentioned, Sunita
Manny.
Manny, who's from Indian descent, but who's American. And
Yes.
then like how they play that role about terrorism and
she's like
how that.
She has to play Lebanese,
Yeah,
terrorist,
Lebanese.
basically.
And then, you know, like that's pretty much how the scare was in the 80s because people from Lebanon was like the scare. That's very, like, if you watch the first Back to the Future, like those terrorists were from Lebanon. No, Lebanon. You Lebanese,
Yes.
I'm sorry. But yeah, like and then there's this wonderful like also like how women are aware of the stereotypes in this, and it just feels awkward that you're seeing this in the 80s. I mean, it's a show that's filmed now, but say it's in the 80s, but it's conversations that we're having now. And like one of them I really like thought was like really well put, and like the character of Kia Stevens, she plays Tammy Dawson. And she's supposed to play this very, very simple, stereotypical black woman who is like the quote unquote welfare queen.
Yes.
And that is very like, wow, they're actually going to talk about this on here. And then how they have to like justify that for the show, because at the time that was the thing. But I feel like Marc Maron's character is trying to subvert all these characters. I don't know if he will do a great job. I haven't
And
watched the
then
whole series.
we forgot about another character, Chris Lowell. Is he plays Bash. He plays the producer. He's the one who actually made these characters. Like they he pushing the persona, you could say.
Yeah, pushing their stereotypical persona. And yeah, I can't wait and to see how these arcs at least will have some sort of resolution, I guess, John, you said.
Yes,
Like,
there's
does
a
it lead off to a season two, the finale?
actually, it does lead on to season
Okay.
two, and I kind of like where it's going. I really want to see where it's going. It literally does a after credit scene, and then you get to see something that you've been kind of waiting for throughout the season, but they give you a little bit of it.
Okay. And props to Alison Brie. Like, I've been a fan of her since Community and Mad Men, and I could see why they chose her for this role, because she plays really good dual roles. Like Community, she plays this young, naive, like 20-something, and then in Mad Men, she plays this housewife who's like a little bit older than she is in Community, and it's like they're just two different people, and she kind of plays that dual character because she's this struggling actress. And I always say, like, the toughest thing in when I see an actor playing an actor in a movie or television show is that it's really hard because you have to pretend that you're acting badly, and like, how do you do that?
Yes.
It's like yeah,
And
it's like.
especially the meta of this thing is that she's playing actor who's playing badly but has to also play a character in wrestling. So it's like, oh,
Yeah,
yeah.
who's also not like you don't sympathize with this char her
No,
character
no,
at
no.
all.
Yep.
Like she's done something. We're not gonna spoil it, but she's done something that's very like hard to like to get her forgive her if
Yeah,
you're in
yeah.
that position. And like they did a good job. Like you don't kind of you root for her at the same time, but what you're rooting for is basically all the women in here. Like
Yes, yes.
especially getting these defined roles and how much that we know that's going to change in our lifetime. But it's just kind of cool that they kind of made this show about the 80s, but it's also about now. It's like a lot of it has to deal with now. And I think they found a good balance with that with this television show. I think that's it. We don't want to go to spoiler territory because I feel like it's a great show where each episode reveals something. But yeah, I highly recommend Glow, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. And yeah, it's on.
I wonder if the original Glow is you can catch that anywhere else, because I seen like what do you call that, scenes from the original Glow, and it looks not similar, but they it's mostly the most of the women there are white though, so I don't know how different it is in
Yeah, that's the thing about like the original Glow. I don't know. That's what I was saying. Like they inserted so much of what way of modern feminism in this show. So I don't know. I say not to. I think you'll just be a little bit more like upset about like what was happening back then. But yeah. So that's Glow on Netflix. It's a Netflix original, and that is our main discussion. Before we leave, John, are you gonna add anything? Add anything to the 17 awesome, freaking awesome things of 2017?
Not really. There are things I want to add, but I have to like look into it more.
Okay, that's cool. I'm just going to add something then on the list. So for those who don't know, I've been listening to this podcast and watching their television show on Viceland. Their podcast is called The Bodega Brothers.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Their podcast existed since like 2016 too. And they just had, I think they premiered their television show this year, or at least it was renewed this year, called Desus and Mero. It's from Viceland. It's a pretty much a less than 30 minute talk show, like a late night talk show where they talk about, you know, issues, about current events, and they joke around. It's about, not about, but it stars Desus Nice and the kid Mero. I don't actually know what their real names are. But if you love comedy, if you like, you know, people talking about social events or social things, or even like current events, I highly recommend both of them. Like the Bodega Brothers is an hour long podcast, while the television show is 30 minutes. But they complement each other really well if you could watch them. And I really, it's really cool because Viceland picked them up because they were actually originally from, I believe, like another web series. And then Viceland thought these two were really great. They're pretty funny. They talk about a lot of things, but yeah, it's like in the scope of like, in what we have in late night is usually men in suits who are predominantly white. This time you get these two black men who are from New York City, that are, you know, who are speaking like, not, they're not like trying to be professional about it, but they're just trying to be themselves and talking about these you know, issues and whatnot. So I highly recommend it, Desus and Mero and the Bodega Brothers. So on the list, this is number 11 on the list. Yeah. So here are the 17 freaking awesome things in 2017 again. Resident Evil, Biohazard, Ren Hung, The Photographer, Get Out, the film, I always want to say Samuel L. Jackson, Samurai Jack, the television show, John Wick, Chapter 2, the film, Master of None, Season 2, SpaceX's reuse rocket in March 30th, 2017, Rick and Morty's April Fool's episode, Player Unknown's Battleground as a watching it as a spectator, and Kendrick Lamar's Damn, and now Desus and Mero's Viceland television show and the Bodega Brothers.
Cool list. Cool.
Yes.
Cool list, bro. No.
Yeah. Thank you. Anyway, John, where can they find you on the interweb?
You can find me watching Netflix, the place where you can watch 10,000 TV shows right now. Yeah, just check me out at Twitter at abyarts.com. Oh, no, byarts.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Benjamin Abaya. You can find all of us on thefreakingawesome.com. You can find us also on Twitter at the TFA Now. So it's at TFA Now, which means The Freaking Awesome Now. I think on Facebook, you can find us on The Freaking Awesome, right?
Yes.
Yes. You could also subscribe to any of your podcast apps, especially iTunes. Please rate us, comment on anything. We'll read it on air here. Other than that, if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, like recommendations of any television show, film, music, video game, please email us at contacts@thefreakingawesome.com. Other than that, I can't wait for next week. You know why, John?
Because it's 4th of July, or it's July, or...
No, because Baby Driver comes out.
Oh,
that could be our 4th of July spectacular episode if you want to record that.
Yeah,
we might have a couple more guests. And I think that episode, we're just going to talk about Baby Driver.
Are you hinting that maybe someone with the right perspective will come on?
Probably. Mm-hmm. Or someone who has Edgar'd their way
into the episode,
the podcast. Yeah.
Okay. I'm hyped for that episode.
Yeah.
Yes.
He could probably say he's the hot fuzz.
Uh-huh. And he's a hot, and, just he's a cop.
Yeah. And he's also named Jean of the Dead.
No, you have to say he also shuns the dead, or no.
Shun the dead. Yes. Yeah. Or he could be at the world's end.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and
his friend named Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
And you're missing one more.
Because they are space.
Okay, that's it.
I don't know. Okay, I don't know.
That's all I can know. And he was an Ant-Man or something.
He was what?
An Ant-Man?
Oh, he was an Ant-Man. Yeah. Anyway, so can't wait to have Steven Spielberg there. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Director
Steven Spielberg's just going to review or talk about like Baby Driver with us.
Also, we're going to have a baby that drives.
Yes, that's actually a surprising guess. There's a baby driving while he's talking to us about Baby Driver. Yeah, it's kind of weird that babies are driving in that film too.
Yeah, I didn't expect that at all until I saw the trailers. Oh, okay.
The trailer sold it as like this person that's an adult, but through technology, you know how like we have 3D glasses, John?
Yes.
So they're called baby glasses, and when you wear them, the main character actually turns into a baby instead of being 3D.
So it's almost like that same technology used in Star Wars to make Leia, right? It's like they put a face over the baby to make it seem like they're older.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I don't think that's the technology of Star Wars, but
you don't think they can do reverse where they can make it in Star Wars and all these other films, they can make an older person young? You don't think they can make a younger person older?
It's reverse. Yes. I thought you were saying that they did that on the Rogue One. I was like, there's no baby in Rogue One.
That's what you don't know in Rogue
That's
One.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. There could be babies anywhere in that planet, actually.
The planet full of babies? Yeah. Planet of the babies?
War of the planet of the babies. Anyway, that's it for that episode. I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome Podcast. We'll